In the same vein of God dwelling in us and God being amongst us. And it's how much we believe whether we're going to take the time to wait upon God, to know the presence of God in our own individual lives, because if that's not the reality of our daily life, then when we come together, there's not going to be the spontaneity of life that springs forth and our awareness of God to where He can manifest Himself through individual members. And we're going to look at that tonight, found possibly in the 12th chapter of Romans and in a few places there in Corinthians. But I did want to go back over just a little bit. You know, are we really hearing God? Do we really have a relationship with Christ? Or do we only have just a set of teachings in our minds? To believe certain facts is not enough. And I hope that we've stressed that enough to where each one of us realize that what we're talking about is a relationship with God. And the thing that he said there in Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, was that I will be in them and walk amongst them. I will be amongst them. Now, God is spirit. And we do not see. And this is what we've been trained most of our lives, almost in every aspect of our life. We are governed by our five senses. When we are born of the Spirit, something else happens. We're made alive. We have spiritual senses now where we can know God, where we can commune with God. God can commune with us, where they can be an actual relationship between us and God on a continuing basis, because we're living out of that fullness of Him within each one of us. That's why to be filled with the Spirit means to be partakers of God. So we come back to the question, and I just don't want to pass over it lightly. Are we communing with God? Or do we have a relationship with God? Or do we only have facts in our minds that we believe, but it hasn't brought us into this relationship with God? Because if we don't have a relationship with God, that's what we must have. No sense in talking about some of these other things unless we have a relationship with God. That doesn't mean we're not going to talk about them. We are going to talk about them, but we're not going to function in them unless there's a relationship with God. You can't move under the direction and anointing of the Spirit unless the Spirit of God is your life, unless He is directing you, unless you are hearing, unless He's communicating to you. Because as we looked at briefly last week, and we'll look at it more critically probably this week, in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we're talking about manifestations of the Spirit that is given to each one to profit the whole working of God. What it says. And if we have any idea that we can go on as far as a corporate working without the manifestations of God, we're deceived. We only have a believism in something that's not real. God wants to be in our midst. And if we know that He is in us and we are communing and having a relationship with Him, then He wants to be amongst us also. And this here, if we're not hearing Him, then there can be no manifestation. Because all of these gifts that we're talking about all manifest by faith. That is a direct response to what God is saying to us. And even in the utterance gifts, such as knowledge or wisdom or discerning of spirits, all of these areas come from God manifesting Himself, the Spirit manifesting Himself in you and revealing, and you allowing it to be declared and revealed. It's not something that comes from your mind. It doesn't come from your feelings. It comes from the Spirit of God, God speaking to you. These are manifestations of the Spirit. They come through the members of the body of Christ, and they are actually experienced through faith, our response. In other words, if we never are obedient to what God is saying, then nothing's going to happen. There's not going to be any outward manifestations of the Spirit of God in our lives. We'll just go along. God could be speaking to us, but we're not allowing Him to speak to others and to be with us. And this is a kind of an, I would term it kind of an inward type of, I want God for myself. Well, you find, as all of us find, and we are realizing it more and more as we go along, that what God is doing is bringing us into His family. And this is not something that we can be individualistic in our outlook, or can we exclude those that God has included. And so we're talking about His life now, so we must have that witness of the Spirit of God in our hearts. And of course, the witness of God is going to open the door for the expression of love. Love disciplines and trains us to the place that we come to where we can respond in a responsible way as His sons and His daughters. Okay, this let me ask you a couple of questions that I've written down and last week, and we asked them. Do we know what we need? The answer is no. You don't know what you need. None of us know what we need. That's why we know God. That's why we have God.
Well, that's why we know we need God.
We know we need God, right. But the question is, do we know what we need? Like when we come together, do we know what we need? Are we listening to what God is saying and God is manifesting Himself to us? Is He meeting the need in our lives? Sometimes we think we know what we need. We don't know what we need until God reveals what we need, because He knows our heart. He knows the conditions. If you can realize this, that tonight, as few as we may be, and as great in number as we are, maybe, God can put this all of us together, and He knows the need of us together. You say, well, I have a need individually. We have a need collectively also. And you'll find that your needs are met as you submit to the Lord in the working of God, and you become a blessing to others, and you're going to be blessed. And your need, all of our needs, whether we fully realize it or not, we know it in theory, but I don't know whether we know it in the actual working out of it to the extent that God wants to show us. But all of our needs are met in Jesus. And we have been created in such a way that He meets our needs. Not as He meets our needs saying, well, this is what my needs are, and they're all temporal as far as this world. That isn't the needs I'm talking about. He meets your needs in Himself. All your needs is Christ. And as you go along, you'll see this more clearly, that all of your needs are met in Him. Sometimes we find ourselves, well, I have a need of this, and I have a need of that. Actually, you have a need of Christ. Mm-hmm. And when He meets your need, then your eyesight, or your spiritual eyesight, changes, and He gets it off of you, and you start to have your eyes on Him. And then now he can move and He can speak to us. We can respond to Him. We're no longer just looking for ourselves. But too many times we go into some, even a relationship, we go in for what we can get out of that relationship rather than what God wants in that relationship.
Amen.
Okay. You need to know that, and you need to realize it, and you need to pray over it, and have God work in all of our hearts to where this is working out. So we don't know what we need. We may come into a time of gathering, and God is going to meet those needs. Why can't He meet them individually? He does. But some things are not manifested to its completeness outside of your encounter with other believers. Some of your needs are not manifest until you come into a working and an encounter with other believers, to where you can be spoken to. Because you say, no, that's not me, that's not in me. And then the situation, through your encounter with other people, You find out that is there. Now God can start to speak to you and show you, and you see it. Ephesians there is a scripture that is has always intrigued me. To be able to comprehend together the love of God. That all of the believers comprehend together, start to experience the love of God together. And of course, if that's going to be the case, then we must go back to what we've been speaking about here for a month or so, and that is the area of seeing what Christ has did at Calvary as far as self is concerned, because when you factor self into a working, if it has not been dealt with at Calvary by Christ, then it's going to manifest in our relationship, and it's not going to be something that benefits anybody. It's going to be a hindrance to the working. Self is, when you see it properly, is ugly. Because self is you moving separate from God. It's you moving with your own human understanding. Self is moving because of your own desires. It's ugly when you start to really see it as it is. And Jesus Christ came and He became sin for us. He had a body like you have, and He went to the cross. He paid the price. He died and was resurrected again, so that we can experience all that He's taught. In other words, without this death, how could we experience life? And then again, you have to ask yourself, what is life? And of course, we have the intellectual answer as far as the scriptures. Life is Jesus. Life is in the Spirit. We must be experiencing that. I don't care what the cost is. I mean, what it takes to provoke us into realizing and relying upon the Lord and waiting on the Lord until there is a manifestation of His love and grace working in each individual member. In other words, when we go on into this in a Father working, you'll see that it's not going to work. And without exception, all of the difficulties that are encountered in the epistles of Paul, Peter, and the different ones, where they spoke to different aspects and dealing with different ones, all was because of self, sin, self-expression, the natural man, still moving as a man rather than knowing the Spirit of God, living by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. All of those epistles are written to minister to those ones and show them that that won't work in the body of Christ. There's no place for self. There's no place for individualism in our midst if we're really going to experience God together. Now, turn with me to Romans. Romans 12. What we're talking about, that's why we're looking at these scriptures. We're not just looking at them for certain little things, but we're looking at them, asking God to show us the importance of His purpose and what His plan really is. And I hope you realize I'm not pushing certain things. This is God's eternal plan. If there's another plan, it must be revealed to us. I don't see any other plan. God's going to be in our midst. How is He going to manifest Himself? He's going to manifest Himself by the Spirit. It's very evident. And what is the meaning of this? It's to a place to where the church can be built up. The church can be edified. It can be fed. It can be nourished. It can grow together. It can experience God together. And all of that. Okay, this begin here in Romans. I'm going to read the whole 12th chapter. Because it's very meaningful. We'll comment on it a little bit as we go along. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. All of these things are very meaningful. I mean, you can't read this fast, and yet that's what we're going to do. We're going to read it fast compared to the way we should. But I would encourage you to go over this and consider this before God, to where what he's saying will have meaning to you, because almost every phrase can be meditated upon and can nourish you and let you see more clearly God's purpose. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. We could say so much about that. Alive unto God, but a sacrifice. Not living for yourself. You're God's. Lord, here I am. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, remember, your mind controls your body. Mm-hmm. What you think on is going to take and govern. And that's why we must start to think on the things of the Spirit. That's why the spiritual man sets his mind on the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. It's death. Now, unless we realize that and know that, we're going to continue to try to satisfy our own longings, our own desires, rather than realizing we're here for God and I'm here to glorify Him in my thoughts. I'm here to glorify Him in my body. I'm here for God, period. I'm not here for me. That you may prove what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Well, that opens the door to us. I mean, you can know these things, but how are you going to do? How are you going to know it if there's not the transformed, if you're not transformed by the renewing of your mind? How are you going to know these things if you're not thinking in God? Let's go on farther. But by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each one according to the measure of faith which God has assigned to him. For as in one body we may have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, individual members, one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. In other words, whatever your function is, it's because of grace. It has been given to you. It did not originate with you. All right? Let us use them, and then it goes on, if prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in your serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who contributes, in liberality. He who gives aid, with zeal. He who does act of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection. That speaks to you. There's no place for lust, no place for the desires of the flesh. He's saying here, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Tremendous area. Outdo one another by showing honor one another. Never flag in zeal, or don't slip down in your zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be consistent in prayer. Constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saint. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony one with another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If possible. Very important area here. Be it for as it depends on you. Don't worry about anybody else. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You have something to do with it. Forget about what they want to do. If it's possible, you do it. You live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I would encourage you to prayerfully go back over that. But what it actually is saying and what we read it for was the area of the functioning of the ministering gifts and what it actually amounts to, gifts that differ according to grace given to us. In other words, wherever God has placed you in, He's placed you in, He's given you the grace to function where He's placed you. And get out of your mind entirely that functioning in the body of Christ is getting up and preaching. Lay that aside. That's the concept around it. In other words, it's serving, it's teaching, whether it's Sunday school or some other thing, that's what it means to function. That is not so. Serving has a tremendous area of ministry. That's part of ministry. Serving and meeting the needs of others. Like it says, if serving, if that is your grace, let it be in serving. Encouragement, exhortation. You know, if you're always rejoicing, I'll guarantee there's going to be people around you that are rejoicing. Guarantee it. If your fire can't be put out, there's going to be other people that are going to get on fire. It's just the nature of the life of God. Get down in the dumps and see how many people are down in the dumps with you. Huh? Mm-hmm. Any questions there in the 12th chapter?
So it would take more faith to be a teacher or a prophet than it would be just to be...
Not necessarily. Why would you say more faith when faith is your response to God?
Then why does he say measure? I don't understand that. To me, when you, it's like, okay, you get this much, you get this much, you get that much. I don't understand that. I guess that's what throws me off.
Because you are functioning according to the ability that God gives you.
Okay.
In your relationship with Him. And that is faith. Your relationship is in a walk of faith. So you're functioning according to the measure that God is moving in and through you.
So it depends on me. I mean, my response, if God is speaking, then I have a choice. I can either respond in obedience and continue to move on with Him. Is that what you're...
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'm thinking...
So that measure stays the same, even though you're...
Well, I don't even look at it that. In other words, here He's given us ability. Each member has the ability that comes from God. He's the head, and our ability comes from Him. Now, according to the measure that's flowing from Him to me, is the way I function.
All right. Okay, so it's not the same all the time?
No.
Okay.
I mean, faith is faith.
Right.
So it's got to
your faith... In this respect, the revelation that you have may not be the revelation of a man that has a teaching ministry or a prophetic ministry. Because it's what he sees. It's the grace that God has given him. That function is grace. He moves by faith according to his response to God. The same as you move in what God has delegated to you. By faith.
Okay, now I'm understanding the measure. I mean, I've got...
Each one has a measure. All of us have a measure of faith. And it's according to God. And the measure is so that we can function together.
But it's the grace that allows the
mess. See, you do something that I don't have the grace to do. And he does something I don't have the grace to do. But it's
about
meets the needs of the whole.
You're talking about faith and grace. Maybe that's where the confusion is right now.
Well, I tried to clear that up. Just go over it again. Maybe I didn't say it clear enough. Grace is God's ability that He gives you. In other words, whatever your functioning is, is grace, the ability of God. You function in your response to God, in obedience to what he's saying. In other words, if you prophesy, let it be according to the faith. In other words, how are you going to prophesy if God's not speaking to you?
And
you're responding back to him. Now, does his response to each one of us differ? Sure, it differs, because we are a body. We're not all the same member. We're all one body. And sure, there's a different measure of functioning going on. That's what makes us a body. But nobody is over the other. He is the head. Everyone is here as a gift of God to the others. Now, the only thing we're saying, what I understood you to say, ask me was, do we grow in that faith that he has given us? And I answered maybe one understood properly, but let me say it again. We grow in grace. The more we're used, the more we can be used. Mm-hmm. Just don't mistake this for more faith. In other words, if he has given me grace, then that grace is going to teach me, and I'm going to grow more proficient in my response as I am used of God.
So I can be used in greater measure because I have taken...
You have taken steps, and you have responded, and you have grown, and you have experienced more of God. So thus, you can be used because you're responding to him. Now, if you don't respond in faith, then you're going to have difficulty in growing in this grace that he has given.
Could you become dull of hearing?
Yeah, you can become dull of hearing if you don't respond on a continual basis. This is life. Just don't put it down in a 1, 2, 3.
No, but I just was wondering.
I'm always fearful of this. That we think that God's going to move here, and then I'm going to move over here when he says something.
You can't.
Wait a minute. Now, here's what I'm saying, what I tried to say. God is in us. When he moves, I'm moving. I don't wait for him to move. I'm moving when he's moving. I'm in union with him. If I'm speaking, it's because he's speaking. Every one of us are the same way. When we move in union with God, whether it's the grace that he's given you, whether you're moving in a response in faith, in the measure that he has given you to whatever area it is, all of it is still, you're moving in union with him.
Which all stems out of my relationship.
Right. Can you could disconnect the rest of your body from your head? It's a good illustration here because Christ is our head. Do we look at ourselves functioning separate from our head, or do we look at ourselves functioning as one unit? Huh?
When you put it that way,
well, that's the way it is. Is that not true?
It is, yeah. But I think when you simplify it down to that,
1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, let me read verse 4 through 9. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him with all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Merely what we're saying here, that they didn't come behind in anything. There was a spiritual working in their lives. Now, as we go on reading in Corinthians, he sets it out. I read it for us last week in the second and third chapter of 1 Corinthians about how we know the things of God is by the Spirit. But and there were areas that they were definitely in the flesh. They were still children. They had chosen up who they were going to follow. One was going to follow Paul, one was going to follow Peter, one was going to follow Apollos, and he said, are you yet still in the flesh? Are you still carnal? Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Let me read the 4th through the 6th verses. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God, not that we are confident of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our confidence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not in the written code, but in the Spirit. For the written code kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is a tremendous truth here. Now, in it here, we can spend all night just here on this one passage, but you need to ponder these ones here, because it's actually telling you what we're talking about. A lot of times we say, well, I'm not a minister. We are all servants. We all may not have a ministry of teaching. We all may not have a ministry as far as a prophet. We all may not be an elder. But all of us are functioning, and all of us have a ministry. And that's where we've got to be led by the Lord. That's where we've got to move in faith. We've got to see what it is. Because a lot of times, what we think is ministry is nothing more than looking at some person that gets up and tries to share the word with us. And yet, ministry should be something that each one of us are functioning with on a continual basis according to the measure of grace that God has given us. We're serving one another. Give me an hour of personal fellowship rather than preaching to 1,000. And you'll see what I'm talking about.
There's interaction.
Interaction. And this is the majority should be our ministry. When that happens, you're going to see a multiplication, because you're going to be meeting personal needs. You're going to be serving. You're going to be finding fulfillment as a member of the body of Christ. As long as you're sitting back and relying on somebody else to do certain things, then you're not finding fulfillment as a member. There's no release of the power and anointing of God in you. So you need to find the sphere in which God can move, and then find the sphere in which God is moving in you, what He has done in you, the grace that is moving in you as a member that He has placed in the body of Christ. Understand what I'm saying? When we all start to find fulfillment, then we'll come together, and there may be ministry as far as the word is concerned in different places. But the most tremendous functioning will be outside of the time of just gathering together. It will be the serving to one another. It will be the ministry that we reach out. It will be wherever we go, we'll not be brought down. We are rejoicing. That's ministry. That's ministry. That's serving others. We may not call it that, but you get overjoyed in your relationship with God, and I'll guarantee you it's going to rub off somewhere down the line through every day. And people have written songs about all of this, you know. Bright in the corner where you are, let your little light shine, and all of that thing. It seems very elementary, but it's the truth. Amanda, if you start enjoying God, people will knock your door down to get to you to find out what you got.
Because it shows in your countenance.
Shows in your countenance, shows in your walk.
Your testimony will be.
Shows in the strength that you have each day. It shows in every area of our life. And you're not really mindful of that. You're rejoicing in the Lord. And this is the fruit that comes out from our lives and how we can affect other people. And that's actually serving others. But again, it comes back to individually the ability, grace that God gives you to function in the place. Because all of us do not have the same function. Somebody may be more able to do this, they have grace to do that. Other may not have the grace to do that identical thing. But if we all find our place and we all are functioning according to the direction of the head, then it's going to be a harmonious working of the body of Christ. Right? And we all are going to find fulfillment.
Right, because you know that what you're doing, you're moving in Him.
You're moving in union with Him.
Right.
You can't do any more or any
less. You're not worried about what...
That is it. That is true. Again, we find ourselves at the short end of time. Let me very quickly go over here in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul gives them some understanding, the Corinthian church. And even though he said, as we've already read, that they fell not behind in none of the spiritual working, he still goes on to define the spiritual working and what it means for God to be amongst us. And so many people, I would say, the vast majority, God is not in their midst. He stands on the outside. That's not criticism. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place for God to move.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let Him move. Not that He doesn't want to move. Even if it's standing on the outside knocking to try to get in, He wants to move. And so when we say this, we're not saying it critical. We're just saying that people have programmed God completely out of their midst. There's no place. If somebody would allow God to use them, they would be escorted out. And if they didn't leave willingly, they would be escorted out physically. And this is a reality. It's not something that I'm just joking with you about. This is the truth of it. Now, let me just read about these gifts. Paul refers to them in the 7th verse there. As manifestations of the Spirit, which I strongly encourage you last week. But let me begin at the 4th verse. There are varieties of gifts or manifestations, let's put it that way. But it's the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, same Lord. There are a variety of workings, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. That means doesn't mean that everybody's going to be inspired the same way, but everybody's going to be inspired by God to function in whatever God has given you to be a part of the working of the body of Christ. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
What that's saying? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That means for the good of all, for the building up of the body of Christ. This isn't for any individual's good. This is for the common good. This is for the good of all. God's going to be in our midst. I illustrated it last week, and let me bring that same illustration up again. God was in the midst of the brethren there that were praying and ministering unto the Lord in the 13th chapter of Acts. And the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas." Now, the only way that we know that that could happen is that He used a man to prophesy and say, "Separate unto me." It was a manifestation of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit in that time was in control of the furtherance of the testimony of God. Man was not sending forth Paul and Barnabas. "Separate unto me." Important. God doesn't change this. He wants to be in control of everything because He's the only one that knows.
Praise the Lord.
Right?
Amen.
To one is given the Spirit of utterance of wisdom. It's the manifestation of the Spirit now. Utterance of wisdom, or another translation says, a word of wisdom. This is not all wisdom to do anything along the line, everybody comes to you for wisdom. That's not what this is saying. In other words, He gives you a word of wisdom, an utterance of wisdom for a particular circumstance. It's from God. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's not something that you think is right or whether you think it's wrong. It's what God says. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. All right. To another, the utterance or a word of knowledge. in operation. You want to see it in operation, you can look in the book of Acts and you can see that, what was it, the two that dropped dead? Who were they?
Ananias
and Sapphira. Okay. They came in and Peter said what? What was that? A word of knowledge. Right? He didn't know. The Spirit knew, and the Spirit gave him the knowledge to say what he said, and when he said what he said, what happened? The man first dropped dead. Man, we're not dealing with, I mean, he lied to the Holy Ghost. He didn't just lie to man, he lied to the Holy Ghost. And that's where we've got to come back to. God is in our midst. We're not dealing with man, we're dealing with God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To another faith by the same Spirit. Now this is a manifestation of the Spirit for a particular working. This does not say that you have to have this manifestation of the Spirit and this is the way you live. You live by faith in your relationship with God. This is for specific workings of God in our midst. He gives just what it says, another faith by the same Spirit. Another, a manifestation of the Spirit. And you know it's done. You pray, it's done, you see a manifestation of it. To another, the gift of healing, still a manifestation of the Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. We've already talked about prophecy according to the measure of faith. According to what God is saying to you, that's all you can prophesy. You can't get up and prophesy any great thing, you know, a whole string of stuff. Only what God is saying to you. That's the only thing that we're talking about. Another ability to distinguish between spirits. We can't move unless we have this. How can we know whether it's your spirit functioning or the Holy Spirit functioning or an evil spirit functioning? We're satisfied to sit and not have these in manifestation. Can't be. We can't be. We must have God in our midst. And this doesn't mean we're hyped up and we're emotional. This is not an emotional working. This is a very calm working of the Spirit of God, and He's in our midst, and He is, we're moving by the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit. We can't know these things. None of these areas can we do within ourselves. None of these areas can we know, or can we move? Can we know what God is doing except the Holy Spirit manifest Himself and show us? To another, in tongues, various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Not as you will, but as the Holy Spirit wills. I can do nothing separate from Him. It's not what I will, it's what God wills. But you can see here the area of the manifestations of the Spirit. The other area in Romans covered some other areas as far as prophecy, as far as ministering, as far as giving. All of these are gifts that God moves through us. And He tells you how that they are to function.
Thank you, Lord.
These two things here, I mean these two passages here, I think give us quite a broad understanding, or should. Now the next thing is to move by faith. Strengthen our relationship with God on an individual basis. Be sure that we are functioning in a relationship with God. Because how can we function and know God's voice and then expect the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself in us if we don't recognize His voice? If we can't move when He says move. And when He says, this is one area you can be stubborn. Maybe that's a wrong word to use as far as a Christian is concerned. But you don't compromise when God speaks. I'll give you the example of one time I was down in Panama. God spoke to my heart about a man in the audience. And I pointed him out and I said, you know, God tells me that something's wrong in your life. And that's all God spoke to me. He didn't tell me what was wrong in the man's life. Well, the man jumped up and down and up and over and Oh, he had, I mean, before all these people, he was justifying himself. Why, this man is a false prophet. This man is everything else. The next morning, he came around to where I was eating breakfast at the pastor's house, and he sat down, and he just hit me with everything he could. He called me every name in the book. And he tried to get me to tell me, well, what's my trouble? I said, God didn't tell me what your trouble was. All he told me was one thing. You were not right with him. Second morning, he was there sitting at the breakfast table again, looking me square in the eye, calling me a liar, calling me a false prophet, everything else. Third morning, he came in as completely different. He said, you're right. I come down and I started to evaluate what you were saying, and you had nothing to gain. You didn't come in and tell me all these great things like somebody else I thought would tell me. You just told me what God had told you to say. And you stuck by it. You wouldn't move. And he said, you're right. I'm not right with God. Would you pray with me?
Amen.
All I can say is, it shows you one thing. When God speaks, I don't care what they call you, if he has really spoken, it will manifest that he has spoken. It will manifest that he has spoken. Now, how could I help that man if there wasn't a manifestation of the Spirit? Because that was a word of knowledge. I didn't know anything. I didn't know that man. And there's going to be places in your life on the individual basis and an individual encounter with other people that God can also use these same manifestations to meet needs in people's lives. They have to be directed in his timing and all of that. But these workings of God is not only just for the gathering as such, it's also to make us to where we can function on a spiritual plane. And we can have God in us, and we can shine as he designs us to shine, and we can function out there and meeting people's needs. We usually, what we do is, we've got this thing all figured up in our mind, and when we come up to somebody, well, it's routine. You know, you're a sinner. You need Jesus. You need to repent. But what if God reveals something to you that they knew you didn't know? It would get their attention quick. Huh? Do we even wait on God? Are we prepared? Are we looking to this place? Not that we're looking to be super spiritual. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that we can be effectual in our testimony for God. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he said, you know, this, she said, you know, I've got a husband. He said, no, the husband that you have is not your husband. You've had five husbands. But he was God. And you got the Holy Ghost going in you. The manifestation of the word of knowledge can also function through you right as you speak to the woman at the well. You said that was Jesus. What do you have in you?
Jesus.
Got the Holy Ghost. You got God. Amen?
Amen.
But if you never believe God for this, if you never prepare your hearts before God, if you never get in communion with God to where you know God's voice, because you don't want to get out and say something that's not true. I've seen that happen too. I saw one man one time had an altar call for people who wanted to go to the mission field. And a lot of people come up to the platform, and this guy took a man and a woman and joined their hands, and he said, yay, yay, thus saith the Lord, you're going to Africa. And the husband said, hey, wait just a minute, that's my wife. That's not his wife.
Wow.
Now these are the mistakes that can be made when people are doing on their own.
Okay.
God doesn't make any mistakes. That's why I say I'm very, very emphatic tonight that you must know God. You must know when God speaks, and you must be willing to stand whatever it costs you if God has spoken to you. That's why you've got to learn God's voice. You know, if we're not grown up in the Lord, and we haven't been brought to a place of responsibility, then we can't say these things. Or when we say them, they won't come true, because we're just speaking out of an emotional thing. We see certain things and we listen to our mind speak to us rather than the Holy Ghost speak to us. But God wants to be in our midst, and that's what we've tried to stress. He wants to be in our midst together, to where we can function together, where we can move as he directs the head, we can move according to the measure of faith and grace that's working in each one. We realize that this is not just a 1, 2, 3 person ministry. This is a ministry where each one of us are able to function. It's functioning 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, wherever God would use you, and to the members of the body of Christ, and also to the world outside of the church. And it's moving and knowing the oneness of this relationship that He's brought us into. Glory.
Amen.
Any questions? Big area. The reason we're maybe so cautious and so doubtful is we see so little of this anywhere. But see, you see so little of reality anywhere either. Of the real thing. God has not changed. When God said, I will dwell in them and I will walk amongst them, He made no stipulation of time. I want God. I want God to speak to my heart in every what way He chooses. I serve a loving Father. I'm here for His glory. You're here for His glory. He wants the best for you. He don't want the worst. He wants the best for you. And what He has given to you in Christ Jesus is the best. But unless we give ourselves, unless we prepare ourselves, we're not going to function in the spiritual realm. You can't be afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. You can't be afraid of the working of the Spirit of God. Many are. And there's many that are not. And they just, it's flesh. Counterfeit. That's why we need the discerning of spirits to know what spirit is manifesting itself. I remember one time I was in a city 12 or 1300 miles from here, and I was in a service, or at the beginning of a service, and this one woman was over there. She was speaking in tongues and going through all kind of different addicts. Everybody's supposed to have their head bowed, and she was up peeking around, and I just stood right over. I was clear across the room from her, and I just pointed my finger at her. Oh, man, she. She looked back up. I was right back at her. All she's doing is drawing attention to herself. Drawing attention to herself. Wasn't a real manifestation of the Spirit of God. But we can't be afraid, because if we're afraid, we're not going to move. I hope I've given you a little understanding here in these areas here tonight, that where you've been encouraged and see that there is the real, and wherever there's a real, there's going to be a counterfeit. But we don't have to be afraid of the counterfeit. Greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. You don't have to be afraid of the counterfeit. It's just like a person at a bank once told me. I think he was a vice president. He said, I never show my tellers the false. Always show them the real. And when the false comes along, they can recognize it immediately. Same way with us. Show them the real.
Amen.
When the false comes along, they'll be able to recognize it.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.